Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Today we've got Jonah Dew.
Anna Hendrick.
Ryan Hendrick.
Katie Pills.
Melissa Delp.
Kevin Delp.
And Journeyman Dan.
In the house!
And man, we are excited to be back and talking with you guys. Thanks for listening. We just got back from Gen Con.
Oh, yes, we did. Woo.
Like, just got back.
Like, literally this morning?
Yeah, we should get some rest. Let's just call it now. Anyway, when we are so excited to tell you all about it and talk about all the games we played and how much fun we had, today we're going to do a little bit of Kickstarters, like normal, our Kickstarter conniption, and then we'll just talk about what games we played and how much fun we had at Gen Con, so we're excited to do it.
Let's get rolling, and should we just start Kickstarter conniption right off?
Let's do it.
Here we go.
Kickstarter conniption!
And the first Kickstarter today is...
Sarah's not here to do the roundup of how many Kickstarters.
We do have four Kickstarters we're talking about this evening.
Or at least crowdfunding.
Crowdfunding. And Melissa's going to jump us off with the first one.
All right. Well, on September 29th, CrowD, or Crowd Games, is bringing City of the Great Machine. And this is a one versus many strategy game set in a Victorian steampunk universe. Basically, one player is going to be the Great Machine, which is an artificial intelligence network. And the Great Machine is trying to suppress social unrest and complete its grandiose master plan to perfect mankind. That doesn't sound sinister at all.
Not even the least.
Steampunk Skynet.
Yes.
And then the rest of the players, the many, are playing as heroes that are working together against the Great Machine to start a revolution. So they're going to be spreading discontent in the city, enlisting support from citizens, inflaming riots, and preventing the Great Machine from completing the master plan because they don't want the enslavement of mankind. So things that you're going to find in this game, it has a modular board. It had some hidden movement for the heroes to secretly choose the districts that they're going to go to and rabble rouse in. There's going to be some resource management. And then each side has different ways that they're trying to win the game, if you're the machine or if you're the heroes. And the heroes that are playing against the machine, the one, need to strategize, but they can only communicate in the presence of the other player. So it's not like they can go into another room and be like, hey, 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 this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a way to coordinate.
Big Brother's always watching.
Yes. You have to coordinate and while the Great Machine is still there, looming over you, watching.
Watching.
Waiting. Hi. So anyway, this is the Great Machine from CrowD Games coming on September 29th. Kevin, do you have something?
Yes, actually, it is a game from Holy Grail Games coming the end of September, and this is actually not going to Kickstarter. This is going to GameFound, another crowdfunding campaign, and I apologize right off the start for my voice.
We all have Gen Con voices.
That's right. This game is called Tiles of the Arabian Nights. All right. Anyway, this is.
I don't know what that was.
I know. Well, that's what happens when your voice is.
What you need to watch
that?
Aladdin again.
Yeah,
it's true. Two to five players.
Arabian Days.
This is turning into a singing podcast.
That's right.
How much sleep karaoke have you guys had?
How much what?
How much sleep have you guys
not
had?
Enough. Not enough. Not enough.
This is a 2 to 5 player game. Plays in about an hour, and in the game, it is a mixture of storytelling plus tile gathering.
OK.
because you're gathering tiles.
What are you doing with the tiles after you gather them?
It's more like resource gathering because the tiles are different resources.
Yeah, kind of like set collection. You're moving across the board to pick up certain tiles that match the goals that you're trying to achieve.
It's the story tiles.
Yes.
And then you have to tell a story with them.
And we didn't see any interpretive dance tonight. But
unfortunately,
we could have.
So you didn't score
a lot
of points.
Was that an option?
It's always an
dance?
Option.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't enough sleep.
If you want to get a high score for your story, right?
It said in the rule book, you have freedom to do the story however you choose.
Oh, I would have expected some interpretive dance then, for sure.
We played a 5-player game tonight, so full player count. And we threw Jonah and Anna and Ryan and Melissa and myself into it. And I think we got the general gist of it pretty quickly.
I don't know. Kevin died in one of his stories. He's like, I went and did this and collected this.
Actually,
and
there's a lot of death in my stories.
But he rose from his own ashes in the next one.
I did.
A witch doctor brought him back.
It was pretty cool.
Pretty epic story.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe we should say that Ryan and Anna helped us demo at Gen Con, which is why they're here for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, we probably should have really introduced them.
We should, but I thought we would do that more in the Gen Con.
Okay.
So we can do that. No problem. Anyway, so this game is has the Arabian feel, so that's why you're telling stories and things like that. And the stories are a part of the points, but not the main points, because you can get points from the actual story tiles that you're playing. They actually have points based on how many tiles you're turning in. And then the other way of getting points is collecting gold and basically bribing the listeners.
You also get points for defeating different types
of
enemies.
I know we finished the whole game, Melissa, but tell us how many points would you have gotten, do you think?
I think I was up to 4 different types of enemies.
And then you multiply it times the number for each one?
No, it's 2 types of scoring. You're going to score for different types of enemies, and then there's a scoring for similar types of enemies.
Okay, cool.
So I think I was up to about 15 points on enemies.
Okay. There you go. Very cool. So that is Tiles of Arabian Nights. Anything that Kyle and I want to say about it?
I mean, hearing the stories and telling the stories was a pretty fun component.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and the other players are voting and awarding story points to the people who tell the stories.
Yeah, that's actually the other thing I have to say. Jonah is a very tough audience.
I was. As soon as we learned that there was interpretive dance, I was like, if you're not putting the interpretive dance in, you're not going to fight for me.
Yeah, but you didn't interpret it dance for us.
It's true. Well, I didn't. That wasn't part of the deal.
Well, he was only shooting for 4 stars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true. They didn't give me my 1. I found it in the box afterward.
That's true.
Strategy. Yeah.
Strategy. Yep. So check out Tiles of Arabian Nights from Holy Grail Games. Journeyman Dan, what you got?
All right. Coming September 28th from Mind Clash is the game Voidfall. It is combining 4X style games with Euro style games. So you've got a lot of that exploration and controlling of the universe combined with managing resources and that kind of gameplay from Euro players. It is solo or co-op, so you're playing against the game, but they also have the same exact rule set to play against your opponents. A lot of games, I feel like, there's one set of rules if you're going to play solo or co-op, but then there's another set if you're playing against real opponents. This one allows you to play with the same rule set, whichever way you want to go. It comes with asymmetric factions. You've got variable maps, so a lot of variability there. And you're developing those techs through action selection. You've got a couple of actions that you take, and that helps you improve your faction and the things that you can do. And then, like I said, you're managing your infrastructure, your resources, you're attacking enemy fleets, you're going out and exploring sectors, and there's no dice rolling in combat, which I especially love. It's very much about how well you develop your fleet.
Are you bad at rolling?
Some days, yes.
I feel like I like rolling in combat because I'm bad at combat, but I'm pretty decent with luck. So
rolling in combat takes me back to Risk. And while that was a lot of fun when I was a little kid, that drives me nuts now. That's how I felt with rolling in combat.
Yep.
But that is Voidfall. coming from Mind Clash Games, again, September 28th. Jonah.
For sure. I've got a game coming to also September 28th. So a big day for crowdfunding platforms. But we've got Drop Drive coming from Phase Shift Games. So these are the same publishers that brought you Dungeon Drop as well. So I haven't had the opportunity to play this game, but I walked by a table where it was being played. And the table presence is actually pretty unique. Mm-hmm. It's got like this border that you set up on the table. And then you drop these pieces in the border and they kind of splatter out everywhere. And it's like an outer space theme. And then you have these different player abilities and characters. And mm-hmm. like you're doing spaceship stuff to all these outer space planets and meteors and whatnot. And at one point during the game I was watching, there's like a, it kind of looked like a straw. I mean, it was a game piece, but I don't know what it was made of. But it kind of looked like a straw, like standing up that high. Mm-hmm. And then you had to drop your spaceship down it. Then off the bounce, wanted to get it like close to this planet. Hmm. It was kind of unique.
Dropping.
Well, I mean, again, it's called Drop Drive, but it looked pretty good.
Cool.
Anyway, it is a flicking pattern movement, pick up and deliver type of game.
Very cool.
Again, it's coming out on, going to its crowdfunding platform on September 28th. And it's from the same folks, Phase Shift Games, who brought you Dungeon Drop. So it should be pretty unique. 1 to 4 players, 20 to 30 minutes, ages 8 and up.
Awesome. Well, speaking of Phase Shift Games, they were at Gen Con.
They sure were.
Which is a nice segue to our topic of the evening. So we should start off with saying that Will and Sarah aren't here, but we have people that are better than Will and Sarah.
Ryan and, we won't tell them that.
We won't say that. They probably won't even listen to this podcast.
That's the last time they won't find it anywhere.
We just will choose to not believe that.
So Ryan and Anna, officially welcome you to tonight's podcast, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. So the new Will and Sarah for the evening. Awesome.
So tell us about Gen Con for you guys. Yeah. First time, thankfully, you were able to help us with volunteering at the booth that we were working. We were volunteering for Genius Games, and you were there. So tell us about the experience with volunteering, and tell us about just the overall experience of being in the building.
All right. This was our first board game con at all, and so it was a completely new experience for us. Neither of us had been to anything like it quite before.
And you're like, oh, let's go to Gen Con, one of the biggest in the world.
Well, the funny thing is, I didn't know that.
Okay.
I was just like, oh, we're going to go to a board game convention, and then Anna said that she had talked to Sarah, and Sarah said, it's pretty big. I was like, okay, that's cool. I'm from California. It's not a big deal.
Have you been to other conventions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like what?
I've been to youth conventions
cool.
and stuff like that.
Awesome.
I actually went to an anime convention back in California.
Okay, which is probably pretty big.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the San Diego Convention Center, so they're pretty massive.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the spectrum, I've been to hair conventions. So
okay. So you're used to the convention, like, thing.
Atmosphere.
Cool.
Yeah. But it was cool. This was definitely the first time being a part of it. And being an exhibitor for the game was a really unique experience, getting to learn the games. And it was neat because I'd never really heard of Genius Games before. So we learned the games beforehand, and they were games where if I were just walking by it, I would say, oh, it's about science. That's a really neat concept. That I imagine, you know, homeschoolers would enjoy that and whatnot. But mm-hmm. I wouldn't have really taken the plunge myself and bought that game. And then we walked away with several of those games because we had a lot of fun with them. They're great games that teach you about science or math or whatever that looks
What's their slogan? Because I walked by it a couple of times.
Credible science, incredible games.
There you go.
Yeah.
It sounds like they are incredible.
Agreed.
Yeah.
And credible. So yeah.
There was actually several scientists that sat down and played games with us. Like, you know, like, oh goodness, I'm not going to even say it right. Like, they were like molecular biologists, mm-hmm. and they're like, we're interested in playing this game. And, you know, they're not even having to like look at the rules because we're like, well, we know how this works. You know, we do this. You know,
awesome.
They're like, it impresses me how accurate it is, mm-hmm. is what we heard over and over at the games.
Yeah, we consistently got beaten by people who were smarter than us because that was their chosen field.
Awesome. Yeah. So from behind the scenes, it was a good experience. But then you walked the floor. Tell us about walking the floor.
Walking the floor was a bit more overwhelming at first. It's like there's so many things to look at, so many things going on. But at the same time, there was order. I wouldn't say it was mass chaos, at least certain times of the day, absolutely not. But also just learning all the different parts. So you've got your exhibit hall where all the games are on display but also being demoed. But then there's also the open gaming hall where it's – I mean, I described it as an airport hangar.
It's just one big open area.
Just massive, and there's just games after games after games being played, which is just super fun and a lot of awesome opportunities. Also, just the board game community was just so welcoming and very friendly. Cool. And everywhere you talk, it's just, oh, yeah. Everybody was interested in getting to know you and at least play games.
Cool.
Yeah, so this was Jonah's first time as well.
Sure was.
Kevin, Katie, and I have been to several Gen Cons, so why don't we talk just a tiny bit about how this year was a bit different than Gen Cons in the past.
Yeah, why don't you do that since my voice is...
Oh, yeah. So Kevin's going to be more the silent... Yes.
He's going to be more...
Yes, so it was definitely a much smaller crowd than normal. I don't know what the exact numbers were, but it felt like it was probably half or less.
Yeah, I would say 50%.
So we're talking maybe 20,000 people-ish.
20 to 30, yeah.
Instead of 60,000 people. Mm-hmm. Also, the exhibit hall had much fewer exhibitors in it this year. They actually had whole sections blocked off with...
That were not being used.
Right, yeah. They had, like, tarps or...
Curtains.
Curtains, walls.
Yeah. What's it called? Pipe and drape?
Yes.
Oh.
And it's pipe and drape.
Yeah, tarps.
Yeah. So we...
yeah, you know, whatever.
This was actually the first Gen Con that I was able to look at everything in the exhibit hall.
In, like, a day or two.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, three or four days.
I think two days, I was able to walk through and look at everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas in past Gen Cons... I never have seen the whole thing, ever. Right. Mm-hmm. There's always sections. I'm like, what? That was in there somewhere?
Right.
So, yeah.
And it was not crowded. I felt like there was open spaces. I felt like there was easy to move around the...
They definitely were very on board with the social distancing. They made sure there was lots of room. They even opened the exhibit hall early to try to keep congestion down in the hallways.
And they even when you had the doors open, it wasn't like everyone at once. They sort of like let them come in waves.
Yes, they definitely moderated that as well. So.
Yeah, so not only was there a little bit more space between the exhibitors, they also had some open spaces where there wasn't even a booth planned to be there. Now there also were some booths that were supposed to be used but weren't because just of the whole safety issues or travel. Mm-hmm. Or a big thing for publishers this year is the logistics of getting their stock to Gen Con. And there were many companies who said, we were planning to sell XYZ game here, but it didn't come in time. It's still on the boat, or it's in the docks, or it's still in China. And there was at least one company that basically didn't have anything to sell. They had something on Kickstarter so they could demo it, but they were planning to have product of their previous games to sell.
Yep.
So I think there were some companies that decided just not to come at all because they didn't have anything to show.
There were also a lot of exhibitors that had low stock for the same reasons. Yep. And so there were a lot of things that were sold out. I mean, some things sold out like Friday, and some things were gone Saturday. So there were a lot of, I know even at Genius Games, we had several games that were already completely sold out by Sunday morning. So yeah, that was a lot of the exhibitors seemed to be that way as well.
I was going to talk about our experience, to get to Gen Con. Because
it wasn't so hot when we started.
Let's just say I was not going to go to Gen Con this year.
Kevin was lured in by the prospect of being able to ride in a Tesla.
That's right.
The first plan was to rent one, but then Jonah, he just decided to go all in and purchase a Tesla.
Crazy.
So when did you push,
take over the story, Jonah?
Yeah, when did you actually push the purchase button?
June 10th.
Okay.
That's when I pushed the purchase button.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, well, because the website said August.
Yeah, so.
And then as we got closer to August, it didn't say August anymore. It said September. At one point, it said October.
And I was like, mm-mm.
And it reeled it back into September. And then we ended up getting it the day before. We're planning to leave at 6 a.m.
Yep.
And the day before at 6 p.m. is when we picked it up. Yep. So it was fresh.
And it was not just next door. We had to go.
It was
go
definitely
up to,
a new car smell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fresh. Yep. But it took us up there. We had some trouble on the way up.
Well, we had some hardware trouble.
Hardware trouble.
Because it was a brand new car, so some things weren't working properly.
Yep. But thankfully, when we got up there, we were able to get it fixed in a day or two.
Yep.
And so on the way back was a lot smoother.
It was amazing.
But it was fun to be able to drive it. I'm actually happy that I was able to get it and drive it up there. So 16 hours in the car, probably more than that. Yep. But testing it out, right? So now I know all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Even last night on the way home, I discovered something new because it was my steering wheel. So in the middle of this long drive, you know, every so often you're swerving or hitting the middle lane or whatever.
Right.
And every time I would hit the lane, the center lane, like the line markers, it just felt weird. Like my wheels on the right side were like shaking. Like it just felt weird.
You know when you like take your car like the, over rumble the rumble strip. Strips.
So the rumble strip feeling, no sound.
Hmm. Right.
So it felt like that.
Yes, I agree.
Like a lot of times. And I was just like, this road is crazy.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, I got to stay off the lines. This road is wild. And then it's got to be 6-7 hours into the trip. I'm like, Kevin, it's the car telling me I'm going out of the lane.
Yep.
It's vibrating my steering wheel.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, this whole time, I was literally like, this road is wild. I cannot go over there. Yep. It's going to break. Something's going to break.
Yep. We had a great time. We played some karaoke in the car.
Yep.
And got to sing along with whoever and played lots of cool games. And then we also listened to a podcast, well, a couple episodes of Dr. Death.
Oh, that.
But we'll just continue to talk.
Yeah. We'll skip over that one.
We're going to blame Jonah for that.
It was a good time. It was an hour and a half of...
I mean,
intense.
We were on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, that's how I like my podcasts and my shows. That's how I like to be. Anyway, if you guys haven't seen it yet, you guys need to check out one of our latest YouTube videos about Gen Con. It's also on our social medias. But we had this cool idea on the last day, inspired actually by the exhibitors and what normally happens on the last day. And Katie was some of the inspiration as well. But what we did is we took a small box game. And we went game for game.
Well, how much do you remember how much it was sold for at Genius Game? $20?
$15.
$15.
Yeah, Power Failure, one of the Genius Games. Took a small box game
and
went publisher to publisher, booth to booth, game for game. And we were going to see if we could trade all the way up to the most expensive game
on the show.
Game on the exhibit floor. And if you haven't seen that video, you should totally go watch it.
Awesome.
It's well worth the watch.
We should explain that as exhibitors and volunteers, They do a lot of trading. Yeah. At the end, a lot of the volunteers get a free game or two, depending.
Right. But they may already have that game.
They may already have that game. They want something else. There's a lot of trading that goes on. Yep. People are like, I'll trade you this game for this game. Oh, yeah, I'd love that.
Definitely a thing on Sunday, the trading of the games.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see that video.
Yeah. In the future, it's already out.
I know.
Which is why I'm telling you to go watch it.
Yeah.
But in the present, Kevin hasn't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'm sure it's awesome. So a question that we got a lot was, what's the hot game or what are you interested in? So what did everyone see during Gen Con that they thought was a cool game, or maybe it's something that isn't out yet, but you heard about it? Mm-hmm. Any highlights from the convention?
Yeah, I think Arcane Wonders was pushing their game, new game Furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you played
an engine
that?
Builder game. Yeah, for sure. We've actually got a short video, like a 1 minute video on a lot of our socials and TikTok. If you're not following us there, we're having some fun. But they were pushing that game. I've totally played that game. Engine builder games, kind of simple rule set when you talk about engine builders. Like, it's not tough. You're bidding on which card. You either win the card or you don't win the card. And if you don't win the card, you get resources. And then with your resources, you make your engine go, which is basically activating the card, flipping it over to say that you've activated it, and trying to get points. It plays in like 4 rounds. It's actually pretty easy to learn, pretty quick to play, but it's actually super fun. So I saw that they were pushing that game a lot. It has a game mat that you plays on as well. So
that
a lot of
sweet.
People, if it has a game mat, a lot of people are like jumping on it. Yep. So it's totally got a game mat. Looks really cool. It's pretty slick.
Did you guys demo anything amazing? See anything amazing?
One of the games we saw was Under Falling Skies. Thought that was kind of a cool one. I'm not really a...
Did you have a good teacher?
I had a fantastic teacher.
Yes, awesome, awesome teacher.
I saw Melissa and said, hey, teach me how to play this. But it was a pretty neat little... It was a cool game. I'm not a huge solo game person, but Anna and I were able to sit down and... It's a puzzle. That's the way Melissa described it to us. It was a puzzle where you have these little ships, this mothership, it's sending little ships down, and then think of it like Space Invaders, where you're just basically pew-pew trying to shoot them from the bottom of it. And as the mothership comes down, there it is. Yeah.
It is.
I feel like my sound effect was better. However, there's different things that happen as the mothership comes down. You're trying to research the aliens, and the way that you win is by getting the research level to the highest thing. So think of like Independence Day when they are able to upload the virus, that type of thing. So we kind of enjoyed that. You enjoyed a card game.
I did enjoy a card game. We played 10 one night.
Oh, multiple times.
Multiple times. That I one happened got played to win a lot. Two times. Yeah. But
that's from AEG.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I picked it up the next day.
Did
I was
you
like,
really?
I want my cool. own copy.
Anna was also killing it.
Yeah. Did you win 10. Two games?
I did.
She did. She won two games in a row.
Awesome.
And we were all like, well, I guess we're done with this.
I will also say I've won a good amount of 10 games. I've played a few times. We've had it for a little while here. I took it home and played with my family. I've probably played it 30 times. I've won a good number of these games.
Y'all two should play together sometime. It'll be an interesting rivalry.
It's on.
It's on.
Cool. You know what I thought was unique? I saw a lot of people walking away from the AEG booth with Inner Compass.
I'm
which
surprised.
I actually put yeah. as my number 10 game of 2020.
2020. But it's
and
been out for a while, so I'm surprised.
It's been out for a while. Yeah. But I saw a lot of people walking away from that booth with cool. Inner Compass, and I was like, you know what? I like you guys. Everyone I saw. Good choice.
I something that was new that I enjoyed and got to play again was actually at Genius Games was Genotype.
Mm-hmm.
I played it once as a prototype. I don't know, 3 years ago, and then relearned it with all the upgraded components and whatnot for demoing purposes. And it's one that it really is a lot of fun, and it's interesting to me. I am interested in genetics, not enough to like getting all the nuts and bolts of it, but I did enjoy the genotype thing, and it was one of those that we... after, I don't know, Friday afternoon or Saturday maybe, we said, there's such a long line to play this that we need to just bust it out on another table. So we actually ended up opening an additional box just so we can run more demos for it. So that one was pretty hopping at the Genius Games booth, and it is one that I also really enjoy.
Cool.
Kevin and I demoed for CGE, so we were... teaching a lot of the games from their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
One that I'm anticipating, it's not quite available yet, is the expansion to Lost Ruins of Arnak.
Mm.
They had one table that was demoing the expansion. I actually taught the base game a few times during the event, and I just love that one. I like the worker placement, deck building, and just trying to... extend your turns to mm-hmm. be able to take more actions during the round. So looking towards the expansion.
Speaking of forward looking, there was a lot of media events that we were able to get some meetings with. Mm-hmm. And they talked about some games that are coming that are not out yet. And one of them
I played a game that's coming that's not out yet. That was super fun.
The AEG one?
No, not the AEG. Oh, the AEG one looked great.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
I actually don't remember the name of it.
The one with the towers?
Yeah.
Rolling Heights.
Oh, Rolling Heights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one. The other one was like a...
Oh, the ship one was very good.
Yes.
It was very good. I don't remember the name of it.
I don't remember the name of it.
It's coming straight to retail.
Correct.
It's not crowdfunding
at Rolling Heights
all.
We can talk about.
And it was... Katie, you're looking at me, but it was fun. It was good.
I'm just surprised that between Kevin and Jonah, y'all just can't remember
and
the names.
Melissa.
Because and Melissa.
It was,
Kevin always knows.
It was a weird...
So I'm really surprised.
It wasn't a weird name. It was written weird
yeah.
on the box.
It's something about merchants or something.
It's like
yeah.
Explorers Guild, merchants, something. But yeah. it's kind of
it
like a flipping right.
Yeah, it was
sort of idea.
That's just a logo, Kevin. That's not actually anything written there.
There are words in
there.
There
are words in there. That's why we can't remember, because it was hard to see.
It's on the banner, I think.
Okay.
So one of the games, we actually talked about this on one of our new shows, coming from Pandasaurus. It's called That Time You Killed Me. And
that sounds fun.
I really enjoyed seeing this game in action for a few rounds. So this game has, think of, it's just a 4x4
is it two-player?
Grid. It's two-player only. Okay. 4x4 grid or board. So think of like Tiny Towns. You know what I mean?
Sure,
that type of board. There's three of them. Okay? Oh. One is the past, one is the present, one is the future.
I remember you talking about this.
What you do in the past affects the present and the future. Yeah. What you do in the present only affects the future. And you're just trying to knock the other person off of two boards, out of two timelines. So like if you plant a seed in the past, you get a bush in the present and a tree in the future. And trees can fall over and kill them, but bushes you can like hide behind. And of course, seeds are like nothing in the past. And then there's like, it's like a campaign almost too.
Because awesome. Once you, it's like scenario based.
Yeah,
okay.
Scenario based. Once you kill them, you open the next box, which gives you the new feature. Which
I'm really
is like,
liking this.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I wish it was more than two players though, but I understand why it's two players.
Yeah, but when we were walking through it, I was like, oh, this is nice. I totally want this game.
And then AEG's also has another expansion to Space Base. And I know a lot of our listeners love Space Base. So look forward to that coming out in 2022 as well.
Oh, we also played So Clever. So Clover.
So Clover.
So Clover. So Clover.
From Repo Productions.
Mm-hmm. This is a mix of, what do we decide it was? Two games, just one, or no, Codenames meets another game. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. We had a whole conversation about what games we
you
thought
said
it was
it
kind
wasn't
of
like just one. It was more like another game. But that's okay. Explain what you're doing.
So in that game, you're given it. They've got it in the shape of a clover, but it's like a little board, and it holds little cards that have four sides that
each card does.
Each card has it. They're square cards. And the way they just get dealt randomly, and you get four of them, and it shows two words are oriented in each section, so that you have four. Oh, I'm explaining
so
terrible.
You have a four-leaf clover. On each leaf, you have two words. So you're going to have eight words total, but two on each side.
Two on each side. And you have to give a one-word clue that will get people to guess which two words go on that side.
Right, because each card has four words. So you're going to have two sides oriented.
Four clues.
Four clues. Mm-hmm. Oh, a word on each side.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to take all the cards off of your board and add at least one other random card. You can even add more if you want to make it more difficult.
I can't even imagine how hard that would be with extra cards.
It was kind of tough. Yeah, it was kind of.
Yeah, so then you have the board that has the four clues on it, and you have
five cards.
At least five cards.
And each card has four words. So you're talking about 20 words.
And the other players, the ones that didn't give the clue, are all trying to figure out how to orient these cards to make it make sense for the clues. And
it's
there were
ingenious.
Definitely some, not necessarily heated conversations, but passionate. Arguing over which words best fit the clues. And the person who writes the clues has no idea what that extra card is going to be.
Mm-hmm. It may be a better card than the one they were given with the clue they showed everybody.
And you do have to look at all the words on the card, not just the ones oriented, because Kevin gave a clue of ring, and one of the words was finger.
Yep.
And that was not the correct word. Yep. Kevin.
Sorry.
Found that out the hard way.
Yeah, and a part of it that I thought was particularly interesting is that you can read the two words together, the two random words together, and try to give it a clue as if it's a single thought, or try to give it something that would bridge between two separate thoughts.
Right. And totally your choice.
It was, but you never know what the person was trying to do, because Sarah and I played together in the first round because we had a ton of players, and we took all of our clues as a single idea, and nobody else who went in front of us did it that way. And so all of our clues sucked. Nobody got the point behind any of our clues.
I figured out the blood magic or whatever. Yes. It was like blood and magic, and the clue was forbidden. And I'm like, oh, if you put those together, blood magic is forbidden. And Katie's one of the ones writing this.
Yeah.
I think those are the words for that.
Yes. So anyway, so yeah, it was just interesting. It was an interesting word game.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a party game for sure.
Totally. Totally. I enjoy it. It's something that is easy to pull out. So yeah. Any other cool experiences from Gen Con that are, you know, highlighted in your minds?
I think we'd be remiss to not tell the listeners that in Indianapolis they have scooters.
Yes. If you didn't bring this up, Jordan, I was about to be like, scooters.
All right. And one night,
and Will's not even here to defend himself.
To be Will's 40th birthday.
Oh, yeah, we have to talk about the 40th birthday.
While we're on the way to his surprise party that he doesn't know about. We're riding
party.
Scooters. We're trying to enjoy it, right?
Kevin and I are already in the room with all of the people who have shown up to wish Will a surprise birthday.
Right. We're
waiting
trying to go
for
there,
Will.
But he's like, we got some time to kill. Let's get the scooters going. Of course, we got to do it, right? You got to get the scooters going. Will falls off his scooter. On the sidewalk. First off, you're not supposed to be riding on the sidewalk. So,
first off,
shame
it
on
is
all of us.
Night. It's like 9:30 at night.
Yes. Falls off the scooter on the sidewalk. By the time that I turned around to look at him, he was half in the street.
Yes. Face down.
Face
in the street.
On, face down. Might as well have been rolling. I don't know. I can't vouch for a roll or
his,
not.
His backpack was extremely heavy. He had like several pieces of equipment in his backpack. He was struggling to get up off of his face with that backpack squishing him down in the street.
And he will try to say he was fell on the sidewalk. No,
he was in definitely the street. Did not.
And I'm telling you, I saw his face. I'm surprised his face was not more ripped up from a fall from a scooter.
Did you say it's an electric scooter?
Electric scooter.
They go pretty fast.
They go to what, 17 miles an hour?
I definitely got up 17 at least once.
And Katie has a little story for her scooter ride too.
But we do have to finish the story.
Oh,
so
the story.
Will wipes out on his way to a surprise birthday party that he doesn't know about.
Sure does.
Kevin and I are waiting, like, where's Will? Everyone's here.
I'm like texting people, so, like, are you guys close?
Those of you who are with Will, get us to the party. What happens?
So after he rolls around in the street for a little while, we make sure he doesn't need to go to the hospital. We get to the convention center and he's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real fast. And he like fixes his hair and stuff because it's all messed up. And as he's in the bathroom, we're like, how are we going to get him? Because the birthday party was in the CGE room, which
after hours.
Yeah, which is not somewhere you'd normally go for extra gaming, which is
locked.
What we said we were going to go do.
Yeah. And he's like texting people like, yeah, we'll meet you in the demo hall. Yeah. After 9 o'clock. And
luckily all those people already knew that they needed to be somewhere else. But he ran to the bathroom immediately. We're like scheming, like, how are we going to get him upstairs? And I think I said, oh, maybe I could say something about wanting to go see, because CGE had a giant
Galaxy Trucker
mm-hmm. demo, which I found out was a ticketed event too late.
We could have.
I missed out my opportunity on that.
You
so
said it.
I told him, I said, I'm going to tell him I'm going to go see if it's available so I can go play it, even though it's already filled. Like, I can't buy tickets for it anymore.
Right.
I'm going to go see if I can play it after hours. And so he totally just went along with it. I don't know.
It's Will, though.
Yeah, I don't know. He was just like, yeah, whatevs. We go up there. So we got up there. We opened the door. And he was saying something, and then he was like, oh, man, there's a meeting going on, because he sees all these people standing in there and immediately, like, turns around to, like, try to head out, like, oh, man, we just crashed something.
Yep.
You know, and then they started
happy birthdays.
Yeah, then Kevin started up with happy birthday, and then he was like, wait a minute.
He was truly shocked.
He was shocked. Sarah did a great job planning it.
Especially with a red mark on his cheek.
Yes.
But he handled it like a champ.
Oh, he did. Well, then he told everybody what had just happened. Yeah. And he owned it.
He did own it.
Yeah.
We had cookie cake, which was great. I think Larry and Amy Estrella went and picked up the cookie cakes for everyone and had a good party. Played 10, played lots of other games, and had a good time. I think he had a good birthday.
Yeah. We got to play a few rounds of Cape May from Thunderworks, which is coming out
soon.
Sometime in the near future.
Soon. Yep.
So that was a lot of fun.
It was good. It was a good one.
All right, Katie, real quick, your scooter story.
Okay, well, First of all, I'm not great with those types of things. So I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out right there. But I was like,
you're going to do it.
I was like, I need to go to CVS because I need to get some cheap breakfast items because right, our hotel breakfast right was $20.
And CVS wasn't like a couple blocks.
No,
it was pretty far.
It was far away. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to take a scooter over there. So I decide to go on the scooter and I do pretty well getting there.
Did you have a phone app or something?
You have to have an app
no,
to
meant,
run
were
it.
Were you like looking Google Maps to get to CVS or you just know where CVS was?
No, I looked it up and oh, then okay, I was like, oh, okay. I think if I go down, I have to go down like 5 blocks and okay, I have to hit this street and gotcha, then I go over 2 more blocks, gotcha, you know, that kind of thing.
So you got there pretty good.
So I got there pretty good. I was a little nervous because I wasn't riding on the sidewalk. I was in the middle of traffic and I was just like, I hope these people see me because I...
At least the scooters are like bright green.
They are. They're bright green. But I'm like, I'm scootering along in downtown Indianapolis. And I'm like, oh, I hope I'm being safe because I don't have blinkers. There's no way to tell people what I'm trying to do. You take your hand off and you are wobbling all over the place. So I'm like, both hands.
And some of those people were crazy on those scooters.
That's true. I wasn't one of the crazy ones.
Weaving between traffic, it was insane.
That might have been Jonah.
And Will.
And Will was on accident.
Weaving between parts of the pavement.
But I got lost on the way back as I thought, oh, I think I can get the convention center from here. I think it's just a straight shot. So I tried going down and I hit the Colts stadium. I hit the football stadium.
Lucas Oil, yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think I've missed it somewhere. And then I was like, I'm scootering and I'm going along and I'm like, I don't know where I am. So I had to stop and pull my phone out and I'm like, I'm somewhere near the convention center.
Right.
I just need to figure out where it is. And what happened was I passed the convention center on a side I'd never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know it was there. So I'd gone way past it. Then I had turned thinking, oh, I've missed it this way. And anyway, it ended up being a 30-minute scooter ride in the morning. But it was a lot of fun.
Good. And you got to do it.
And I got to do it.
Cool.
It was good.
Cool. I saw a almost life-size Stargate at the convention.
Oh, Kevin, you totally misled me with that. It's not almost life-size.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't big enough for a puddle jumper.
No.
It definitely wasn't.
But it was big enough for a person.
I'd say it was maybe half size.
You know, it was the size.
But it was still big enough. The whole Stargate team couldn't have fit through
walking
like they're supposed to.
It was big enough that they made that like personal one in the house the one time in the series.
Oh, it was that size.
Okay, good.
I will agree with that. Sweet. It is that size.
Awesome.
The personal Stargate size.
The personal Stargate size. So
that was an advertisement at a booth for a RPG game.
Stargate
RPG.
That Katie might download.
I know. Yeah.
For Ryan.
We're thinking about it.
Cool.
For sure.
Cool. Any other highlights? No? Well, you, a listener, can email Will and wish him a happy birthday. Will@tantrumhouse.com.
W-I-L-L.
Yep.
And it was 40 years, just in case
yes,
you want to throw that in there somewhere.
For 4 year birthday. 40 year birthday. I'm late. It's late.
And a birthday.
And a birthday. Anniversary birthday.
Yeah, it gets all the time.
Jonah, end this thing.
Thanks so much for coming. We'll talk to you guys next time. If you have any thoughts, questions, concerns, if you want to talk to us, don't talk to us. We want it all. We want everything that you're ever thinking. We want to know what games you're playing. We want to know what games you're not playing. It's all fun and games here. Anyway, we'll see you next
time. That.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Barry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.